For Project Spurs, I'm Paul Garcia, and this is the Spurscast. In today's episode, I'll be speaking with Project Spurs writers Colin Reed and Benjamin Bornstein about the Spurs' final preseason game, the starting five, and Zach Collins' contract extension. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Welcome, everyone. Ben, it's been a while since I've talked to you, man. It's been since about draft time. How have you been?
Already drafting for 2024. That's how I'm doing.
Okay, and hey, man, the Spurs probably gonna have two first round picks in that draft, so you know that's something to look forward to. Colin,
you're Toronto.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, Toronto. Actually, they can't be better. They can't bottom out in the bottom six, and then they get to keep that pick. So the Spurs got to watch out for that. Colin, you were on here 2 weeks ago. How have you been?
I've been good, but I do want to say I think that you are shortchanging the Charlotte Hornets. You know, their title run is going to give the Spurs a third first-round draft pick.
That's how much I don't believe in that Charlotte pick at the end of the season, is that I didn't even mention them. Because, yes, that is a possibility. If they do well, the Spurs will get their pick, but I don't think they're going to do well that well. So, yeah, guys, all right, so let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. So let's first begin with that final preseason game that was that took place on Friday on the road in San Francisco against the Golden State Warriors. So the Spurs defeated the Warriors by 5 points that night. They started their new big lineup once again. We're going to talk about that lineup in a bit. Wemby had a great night. You know, you saw him buzzing on social media. 19 points, 5 blocks. And let's just talk about who he blocked. He blocked Andrew Wiggins 3 times. He blocked Klay Thompson 1 time. He blocked Stephen Curry 1 time. Two of the greatest shooters here. He got 2 blocks in preseason games. And then he grabs 4 rebounds. We also saw Wemby. He started at the 4, but he also played some 5 in this game. And what I really want to talk about here is that 5-minute stretch that had everyone, you know, talking about this on social media. Let's go to that 5-minute stretch in the first quarter. He makes a 19-foot step-back jump shot. He blocks an Andrew Wiggins 3. He gets a steal in a passing lane. He makes another 19-foot pull-up jumper. Then here's where the sequential play happened for about 2 minutes, where he makes an eight-foot floating jumper almost behind the backboard, and he gets fouled by Klay and still makes the shot. He makes the and-one play. Then he blocks Klay on a 3. He gets the ball on the other end. 2 Warriors players kind of fly by him, and he dunks it with 2 hands. And then the last play of the first quarter is when Andrew Wiggins kind of like tries to cross him from the left side, takes him out around to the right side, and Wemby just kind of swats his mess. And yeah, man, there was a play. It was like later in the game where like Wiggins like got his third shot blocked by Wemby, and he just like looked dejected. He just like had his shoulder slumped. Ben, what were your thoughts on that final Spurs preseason game, especially Wemby's highlight plays?
That's man, that stuff is just ridiculous. There is no way that Victor Wembanyama is human. There's no other way to say it. It's crazy. I mean, you're talking about he blocked a 3-point shot, which is incredibly rare already. And then he made it look so easy. Like, oh yeah, I do this all the time. I'm going to get like 3 blocks a game this way. And then he just like, he made Andrew Wiggins's personal, you know, highlight reel. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's preseason, so you know, I don't know how hard everyone was really playing for the Warriors, especially knowing that Draymond Green wasn't playing. You know, they're without him tonight, recording on, you know, opening night. But I mean, it's definitely a good sign. He was taking it seriously. He wasn't, you know, lollygagging or whatever. So it's good. I would love to see it more in the regular season. I don't know how people are going to game plan around him. I mean, Colin was saying off air, you know, the rookies tend to hit, you know, around that, what was it, 30, 35 game mark. And they, you know, there's a bit of a drop off. So I'm curious if that happens for Wembanyama.
Okay. So Colin, what stuck out to you in that game, in that final preseason game with Wemby?
Yeah, I think so. In that 5-minute stretch, it was one of those things where you just start, like, you're watching it and then you see the plays individually at first. Mm-hmm. And then you notice that they're all happening in this like sequence. And you're like, okay, wait, what's happening? And then it's another block and then in a 3, you know, and it's just like, it is a lot of fun. Bomani Jones had like a little video segment about Victor Wembanyama on his show recently. And he brought up a point that I really, really like, where he's saying like, okay, we get so into, I want this guy to succeed. I want this guy to fail. You know, I think he's going to win this many championships. I think he's going to be a bust. And he was like, he's just fun to watch. Like, we don't have to even do any of that stuff. It's like, can we just appreciate that this is a fun basketball player to watch? And that, I think, has been one of the nicest things for me. You know, I'm going to analyze this team no matter what. Like, we analyzed them last year. Having a fun basketball player who's doing things like this on a nightly basis does make that much more enjoyable, I will say. Yeah, that stretch was pretty crazy, and definitely was immediately texting some family members to see if they were also watching.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, we're getting ready for 82 games. You know, watching Victor kind of just surprise us almost every night. Like, there's going to be a guaranteed highlight play. You know, 1 to 3 per game is what we're seeing here. Even, you know, regardless, you know, if the Spurs are winning or losing. All right, guys. So one thing that I mentioned earlier was about this new starting five that the Spurs have, where they're going to play that big lineup of Jeremy Sochan, who's 6'8" at the point, Devin Vassell 6'5" at the 2, Keldon Johnson at the 3 at 6'5", Wemby at 7'3" at the 4, and then Zach Collins 6'11" at the 5. So I talked about this new lineup when the Spurs rolled it out last week, this new lineup. But Colin, you and I had been talking about different lineups and things like that. And now that we know the answer of what the starting lineup is, what have been your thoughts? And then after that, Ben, if you can give your thoughts as well.
Yeah, so I've been surprised. I think I definitely see the theory of it. And it's very interesting because the Spurs have always been innovators in some ways in basketball and like kind of very old school in others. You know, there is definitely a sense of this is how the game is meant to be played and they kind of follow those rules, you know. And so I just didn't think they were going to get to non-traditional point guard so quickly. But it actually makes a lot of sense. You know, I was thinking recently about how offense works in today's NBA, and Gibson Piper, Half Court Hoops, has like a really great video about like the evolution of five out offense. And, you know, a lot of the times today, it's not, you know, a floor general pounding the air out of the ball, trying to create a good matchup and then passing out. So it's like, you know, a player throws it ahead, then the ball gets reversed to the other side, a couple of drag screens, you know, this other player, you know, it's a lot of like players making reads, a lot of off-ball screens, you know. So when we say Sochan is the point guard, you know, a lot of the times his whole action on this play is he throws the ball to Vassell and then sets a screen, you know, or sometimes he is running a pick and roll. But I think that the way that NBA offense runs nowadays, it's a lot less of that floor general setting the table kind of style. And it's a lot less of that. And it's a lot more of, you know, we have five players out there who can all think at a high level and pass at least adequately. And we're going to just kind of run a big series of passing the ball, screens, cuts, and then we're trying to find an advantage somewhere in there. And there's a select few players that are going to be the ones that are going to isolate more. And, you know, that lineup that we're looking at, they have that. They have the high general basketball IQ across all the players. They have players who can pass. You know, they have players like Keldon. His two biggest things on offense are his spot-up shooting and his drives, you know? So he's a player who I think last year was really hurt by the fact that he was kind of the main guy, and he's going to be benefited a lot more that people are going to be drawing attention off of him this year and towards Wemby and Vassell and all that. So I think, you know, point guard is such a weird phrase today. I think it's more of how it is. It obviously was very good, you know, like it. I was a degenerate and I was looking at plus-minus numbers for like preseason lineups. Which feels like the height of degeneracy, like I said. But I was very impressed. Like, that lineup was doing numbers, and I think that it will continue to do so. But I think, kind of as you were hinting at, there's some optionality that they have too if it's not working. So I think it's kind of the best of both worlds in that regard.
Ben, what have you thought about Pop going to this, you know, big lineup so early on in the season and going away from a traditional point guard like a Trey Jones?
Yeah, this is a jumbo lineup for sure. I mean, your shortest guy is 6'5", and that's Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson. But it's like Colin said, if you got guys who can handle the, you got a couple guys who can handle the ball, everybody else knows how to play the game, you're moving the way you're supposed to move, you're setting screens, whatever you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing it at a good to high level, you can be successful. I have a sneaking suspicion that Jeremy Sochan will not be the starting point guard for all of this season.
Okay.
I think Trey Jones will eventually become the starter, just because I think there's probably going to be a bit of a lull, or there's going to be a stall where people have figured it out and they're going to say, all right, Jeremy Sochan's your point guard at 6'8 or 6'9, but who is he guarding? Can he guard our point guard? Or, you know, is that Keldon? Is that Devin? And even if they're guarding one of the point guards, who does that leave defensively elsewhere, I guess, is really the question. So I think it'll be a nice experiment to start the season. I could see it going 20 or 30 games. And I think eventually Trey Jones, the traditional point guard, will eventually make his way to the starting lineup. And I think that also goes to show that there is a really big, glaring hole at at the depth of the point guard position. I mean, Trey Jones, I mean, I thought the way Trey Jones played last year, he was the clear-cut number one choice for point guard for this team going forward, until, of course, they ended up drafting somebody or whatever it may be, or they traded, whatever. But trotting out Sohan, who they experimented at with point guard last year, I thought it was a bit of a risk, considering he seemed to struggle a lot when he was the focal point of the offense. And I think having Victor Wembanyama on your team will change a lot of that. Like Colin said, Keldon a lot of last year was the guy. Keldon won't have to be the guy. Jeremy Sohan won't have ball handling duties on his own. So there's a lot of things that can get spread out to other guys who are starting in that five. So it should be a fun experiment. And I think fans should treat it as such. Don't think, oh, this is the end all be all. Oh, this is what they're going to do all season. It's going to be the worst. I don't think they're going to do that all season, especially if, you know, they're not really trying to win right now. I mean, we talked about this before the pod, but, you know, 29 and a half wins, I think Vegas had the Spurs team at. I think they're going to go above that. I mean, there's a lot of people who think that this team is going to compete for a play-in spot. I don't quite know if they're there. I think it really depends on how the rest of the West looks, because I could see some teams being completely dysfunctional and losing games they have no business losing. I mean, I can see with the way the Memphis offseason has gone, I could see them being terrible to start the season. I mean, no Ja for 25 games. You've lost Steven Adams for the whole season. I mean, there's just a lot of bad things happening there.
Yeah. And something you just hinted there was like something that I discussed last week, which is like, my question is, like you said, it's more of an experiment to starting five. And if things don't start going so well, after a while, you know, how many games does Pop, you know, want to see before he starts, you know, making some changes? And I would think it's about 20, 30, like you said there. Now, what you just said also, Ben, was that Pop also gave some comments before that Warriors game where he basically said that starting group, they're not going to, it's not set in stone that they're going to be the starting group permanently for the rest of the season. The long-term were his words, I believe. And so he had an interesting lineup toward the end of the first half in that game against the Warriors where, I'm calling this maybe the future five, where he had Trey Jones at the point, he had Devin Vassell at the two, Jeremy Sohan now at the three, Wemby at the four, and then Zach Collins at the five. And then, of course, you know, who's missing from that lineup is Keldon. So then you can maybe possibly look at Keldon being a sixth man. Colin, what do you think about that group that popped had out there in those final 3 minutes against the Warriors?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing that I think is missing from the first lineup is the ability to keep a dribble alive in traffic and navigate tight spaces, which I think Trey Jones is very good at. And I think Devin Vassell is probably the number two person in that lineup, but definitely is a rung below in terms of that ability. And I think when it comes to Jeremy Sohan being a point guard, I think there's a lot of things he can do well, but, you know, maintaining a tight dribble when there's two players around you and you're in the key and then pulling up and hitting that foot, like that's something that Trey Jones is going to make an NBA living off of. Like that's something he's very skilled at. And I just think that ability to get that level of penetration, you know, it's very interesting because we talk about having shooters on the floor. And I think if they're not going to have, you know, some of these players are like, are they plus shooters? It depends on the night. I don't know. Sometimes they're minus shooters. You know, some game Wimby will hit 3 for 5 and then some he'll be 1 for 7. Mm-hmm. And the exact same with Zach Collins. And I think you need someone who can put pressure on the rim by just their ability to put the ball on the floor and drive towards the rim. And that's not quite where Sohan is yet. And I think that Sohan and Vassell might develop into that player, but I think that Trey Jones already has that skill. You know, when I think of, you know, I put a poll out on Twitter that was saying who do Spurs fans think that the best pick and roll ball handler is? And it was really split between Devin Vassell and Trey Jones. Someone mentioned that they felt like Devin can kind of hit from all three levels. So like he can pull up and shoot from anywhere, which I thought was a good point. But for me, it's more of like, if he's going to put the ball on the floor and drive Trey Jones, you know, he's going to be able to create an advantage. And now you get the defense in rotation. Well, what happens if the defense is in rotation, you're passing it to Wimby? You know, like what happens then? Like now you have an open Wimby, like that's just game over. Or, you know, they pass, they rotate to him, and then he hits Collins who dunks or whatever. So like, I do think that there are big advantages to having the kind of player who can get to the rim and threaten teams at the rim more frequently. And I think that's going to be the toggle, is like, do we need size tonight, or do we need someone who can really put that pressure on the rim you know, from a drive from the outside. So I think I do wonder if when we talk about long term, I do wonder how, like, is it going to be a, oh, well, this isn't working, so we're going to switch? Or is it going to be a, this team is not great at rim protection, so we're going to have Trey Jones be the starter tonight and put a ton of pressure on them, versus, you know, this team, that size is going to be really helpful. Like, it might be a thing where it's whichever one is more successful, or it might just be, we're just going to go with whatever we think is going to work best against that team tonight.
Okay, some more matchup dependent possibly, you know. So yeah, that's something to look forward to. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Again, Pop hasn't quite, you know, said that's going to be the group that's going to play yet. So again, I think about like what Ben said too, like there's going to be some sort of sample size the Spurs need to see first with that initial starting group, and then maybe they'll get the tinkering to go to those other lineups.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so now our next topic, let's talk about finalizing the regular season roster. So the Spurs made a few moves this past week before the season officially begins. The first move let's talk about is Zach Collins getting his contract extension. So earlier this week, the Spurs signed Zach Collins to a 2-year, $35 million contract extension. Just for some cap nerdery here, the way they did this was they used a new CBA by signing him at the average player salary, which is $11.9 million at 140% with 8% raises. So that means that Zach's going to make $16.7 million this next season. That's 12% of the cap, so a good deal. And then the following season, $18.1 million. Again, still 12% of the cap because it's rising. So not a bad deal. Again, 12% of the cap for each of those 2 years. This still leaves the Spurs with the possibilities of opening up some cap space. They can open between $7.9 and $22.1 million next summer, depending on what they do with their own free agents, with players on non-guaranteed deals, and then also their other potential 1, 2, 3 first-round picks that they may have next offseason. Ben, what did you think about Zach getting this contract extension?
Love it. I thought it was very team-friendly. I thought it actually looked very good, because I think later that day, Onyeka Okongwu signed a similar deal for Atlanta. But Atlanta locked him in at 4 years. It was 4 years, 62 mil. So you're talking 2 years, 35 for Zach Collins, who seems, knock on wood, to have gotten over the injury bugs and is going to be a big part of this team. And by only signing him to 2 years, if you're the Spurs, you can say, yeah, we want you to keep rolling with Wembanyama in our timeline, or we're going to move off this contract and we're going to free up some, we're going to have free space in the new, you know, with whatever the salary cap is that year. And we'll be able to sign a couple people. So I thought it was great for him. I thought it was great for the Spurs. I mean, Zach Collins, I think, deserves to get paid. He absolutely deserved that payday. I think it's great for him. And I think it also happens to be fairly team friendly. So, you know, for me, it works out all across the board.
Okay. Colin, what were your thoughts there?
Yeah, normally, you know, we do a lot of cap analysis. I appreciate that you have the percentage of the cap because things are rising so much that people are overreacting to numbers nowadays a little bit more than they should be. But I think, you know, this is an analysis financially. This is an analysis on the court. But, you know, seeing that, I was happy for him because he did have the injury bug, like Ben was talking about. He really fought through a lot of the stuff. Pop talked about how diligent he was in his rehab process. Mm-hmm. He was willing to come to a situation where he had one guaranteed year and then two more non-guaranteed years in San Antonio. Like, obviously, that's a good place to go in terms of rehabbing your value and rehabbing that. But he did all of the right steps and he put in all of the work. And his reward is if Wimby's career is anything like what we think it's going to be, right? Like the storied career that people are talking about and part of the story of the NBA, his reward for all this hard work he put in is he's going to be the running mate with Wimby, at least in his first 3 years and maybe beyond, you know? And like mm-hmm. to put yourself in that place in history where, you know, players like Zach Collins, that skill level there, it's amazing. It's, you know, maybe one of the 100 best players ever, not ever, but of in the NBA right now or in basketball right now, 150, 200, whatever. You know, if there's 200 people better than him at basketball, there's not more than that. And he is going to have his name in history forever as the guy who's like Victor Wembanyama's running mate because of the hard work that he put in. So I think, you know, that's not normally the kind of analysis I go for. But when I saw that, I was like, okay, he's in a situation where, you know, I think it works for him and the team, but he's also kind of like cementing this kind of legacy for himself where people are going to be talking about like, oh, well, Zach Collins, the first 3 years, you know, which I think is cool. He put in a lot of hard work and I'm glad that he was able to find this for himself that maybe is going to keep him remembered for a while.
Okay.
The
yeah.
Just Fabricio Oberto of our time.
There you go.
So, got absolutely
mentioned in this. There you go. Yeah, and like you guys said, you know, 12% of the cap, that's a good deal. You know, any day of the week, right there, especially, you know, good job there by Zach. All right, so let's move on to the last two moves that they made. So, so they also exercised some team options for some players for next season, and that's Jeremy Sochan. You know, not surprising. Malachi Branham, not surprising. But Blake Wesley was the player to watch there in that team option. They did exercise the option for him because, like, as we see now that Jeremy Sochan's starting at the point and then Trey Jones is the backup point guard, we've seen that Blake Wesley has been relegated to the third point guard duties, which means he probably won't play unless, you know, it's like a blowout for either team. And he's had a pretty good preseason from what it looked like initially, but we noticed he struggled a little bit in summer league. Were either of y'all surprised or you expected Wesley to get that that team option guaranteed? Ben, start with you.
I didn't really have any expectations at all, to be honest. I figured if the Spurs were going to extend one, they might extend all just because let's try and keep these guys together and see what we can get out of them. I mean, I think they obviously have a much better idea of what they're getting in Jeremy Sochan, and they have a fairly decent idea of what Malachi Branham looks like. I think they extended Blake Wesley just because they figured we got to see what else he's got.
Yeah.
And if he, you know, if it doesn't pan out, it's a cheap contract. We can get rid of it at some point. We can use it as a throw in a trade if we need to. And if you do like him and he turns out to be, you know, God forbid something terrible happens to the point guard situation, he steps in and, you know, maybe he shows out and he shows you what he can really do. You've just secured him on the cheap for, you know, another couple years. So why not?
Okay. Colin, is that what you expected Wesley to get, that team option?
Yeah, I think, you know, the fourth year team option is generally the one that's a little bit more like teams mm-hmm. will actually make a decision. I think that third year team option, when that gets declined, that's like a disaster in drafting when a first year draft, like that's when, you know, okay, we whiffed on this pick. Like if a player is not even sticking around, like it's 1 year after they've been drafted and they're only going to be there for one more year. That's generally reserved for that. And I don't think this was a disaster of a draft pick. I think, you know, that summer league had its ups and downs, but it looks like he worked on a lot of the things mm-hmm. that were made, you know, the ups were cool to watch and some of the downs, he worked on some of those things and they were improved in the preseason. So I think that it's one of those things where, like I said, most of the time when you see a player not get that third year, it was like a huge miss in drafting. And I don't think we're at that point yet with this with this pick in Wesley.
Yeah, exactly. I expected that to happen as well, just because he had a really good preseason too. And again, it's only that third team option, not the fourth one yet. All right. So now our last part about the roster is that Charles Bediako, his training camp contract was converted to a two-way contract. So now the Spurs' two-way contracts are full with Charles Bediako. They have Serge Ibaka Rice and then Dominic Barlow now. So their entire roster is full and ready for the regular season. Ben, you watch more college basketball than Colin and I, obviously, but can you give us just a little bit of a scouting profile on Bediako? Who was he as a player at Alabama last year?
Sure. So 7-footer, relatively thin, really good athlete. I mean, he was a defensive force for Alabama. He played there 2 years. Spotlight was on that team last year as they had Brandon Miller on that team. So everybody was watching him. He played very well. I believe he made all SEC defensive team, first team. And he's got long arms, jumps really well. Defense first guy, has a lot of offense to work on right now. A lot of his points are probably going to be kind of garbage cleanup type stuff around the rim. He finishes well around the rim, but no jumper to speak of. In fact, his free throw percentage got worse in his second year, but I think that was because it was an incredibly low volume. I mean, we're talking, I think he was just a little over 60%. He dropped down to 35%, but I think it's because he just didn't take that many free throws. He wouldn't have the opportunity because there were three or four other guys on that team who were getting way higher usage. So they were seeing the line a lot more than he was, but a good G League guy. I think he's going to spend a lot of his time in Austin and he'll get called up in emergency duty, but I imagine Dominic Barlow is going to get called up before he does. So Bediako might find himself as the starter in Austin on quite a few nights.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. And again, if depending on how the Spurs season goes, we see that they're struggling, toward the end of the year, maybe they'll give him more minutes with the San Antonio team. But again, Barlow would definitely be ahead of him in the depth chart in case they call him the players up from Austin. All right. So now, guys, our final topic, let's talk about the first three games to begin the regular season coming up here in this first weekend. Yeah. Okay. So they open the season on Wednesday against the Dallas Mavericks in San Antonio. Zach Collins is questionable. This just came out earlier today with a non-COVID illness. So again, we'll see if Zach's going to be available. Also, I believe Luka Doncic is questionable as well to play in this first game. Then on Friday, the Spurs host the Houston Rockets, who they played twice in the preseason for a regular season game. And then on Sunday, they take their first road trip to the West Coast, where they're going to be on the road against the Los Angeles Clippers. We do want to note that on that game on Sunday, Devontae Graham can officially rejoin the team because he will have served his 2-game suspension to begin the season. So you don't talk about all those games. Colin, just what interests you from either, all three of those games or one of those games? What just interests you in general from the slate of games?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely tomorrow's game, and we're recording this on Tuesday, the Wednesday game against Dallas. I think it's the first game of the regular season. I think that's always fun. I think, we talked about it here in my household. We're going to make a little day of it, and we're going to get game day food. It's on ESPN. It's the first game with Wimby. There's a lot of excitement around that, and I think that's kind of just a special time. Kind of like what I was talking about earlier. I think that for all of us, we really like to analyze the game, but sometimes it's really nice to sit back and just enjoy basketball. And I think that it's also the most enjoyable game out of the three. The Clippers one scares me a little bit because I think that they're a team that could be really good. Like, they have two players who are insane talents, and they've just had terrible injury luck and some other things. And all of a sudden, if things click right for them, they could be a juggernaut. And the Rockets one is so devoid of joy. Talking about enjoying basketball, like that feud between Rockets fans and Spurs fans over the summer, completely sapped any care I have of this because I'm just like, there's going to be reactions and takes online, and one of my best friends is a Rockets fan, so I think especially with the two preseason games, they didn't play the preseason games, and it's like, oh, what's gonna happen? That might be a little different too. But tomorrow, the game on Wednesday against Dallas, I think is gonna be a lot of fun. There's gonna be a lot of hype around it, ESPN game, so I just hope it's one where all of the players are able to play to their best, because there's gonna be some good players on display.
Okay, Ben, what are you looking forward to in these slate of games?
I'm looking forward to Luka Doncic not playing. That's what I'm looking forward to. Actually, I could do with a lot less of Kyrie Irving too, but that's more of a personal matter. I really just want to see how Wembanyama plays in first real NBA action, where the score counts, where things you do on the court count, and how he reacts to any and every situation. He seems mature beyond his years, which is great. I don't think he's going to have a blow up and get a tech in those first 3 days. Watch, I say that and like something absolutely stupid is going to happen. But it's really funny because some of the quotes that have come out during the offseason was like, yeah, I'm ready to back up Wembanyama when they inevitably like take their shots at him. Like, oh my God, we're already starting like blood feuds here. This is crazy. But I just watching him and seeing how this team comes together, I really hope Zach Collins does play. I enjoy watching him play, and I'm very curious to see how he looks at five with Wembanyama at four, and if that even really matters, because I think a lot of stuff is going to be fairly switchable with Wembanyama. So, for me, just watching the games, period. I mean, that game against the Clippers, like Colin said, very good game. It's on the road. I would love to see how Wembanyama plays in that kind of environment.
Okay, so regarding the Dallas and Clippers game, I actually am hoping Luka plays just because I want to see Wemby against some of the best talent in the NBA. I want to see him against Kyrie and Luka. I want to see him against Paul George and Kawhi. I just want to see where kind of he stacks up there. I know he won't be guarding them like on every possession. Just, how is it with him on the floor like we saw that the other night with him on the floor with Steph and Klay? So that's one thing on those two games. And then against the Rockets, it's more for me a measure of like, where is the talent level of the Spurs team? Because like them and the Rockets are kind of close in where they're expected to win games, very close, similar. So like, are the Spurs, that much better? Or are they just like right there with the Rockets? That's kind of when they played like those teams who maybe don't get a lot of the flair. I do want to see that as like where stacking up talent wise, where are they compared to some of those other teams? So yeah, I'm looking forward to these first three games to begin the regular season for the Spurs. All right, so thank you to Colin and Ben for joining me here on this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. Music for this episode was written by Vincent Garcia and Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.